Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Detroit Lions Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Kania. With me, as always, is Eric Schlitt from PrideOfDetroit.com. Eric, Thanksgiving week is upon us. Lions coming off of a 13-10 loss to the Browns. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
This is a short week to prepare for this one, but the Lions are used to it over the years. Dan Campbell's been a part of it before, but this will be his first time as coach.
Yeah, part of it as a Lion and as a Cowboy, right? So it's not his first. He hasn't just been to it one game or two. It's been a few. So, short week. So everything is just crammed together from a news cycle standpoint. And when you get this much information all kind of piled on top of itself, you don't always get some clarity. Right. So like there's going to be things like the injury report where we don't really have a whole lot of clarity. And because of the way that they operate or the injury on a short week or the injury report on a short week like this, we're not going to get a whole lot of information, if anything. And so we're not going to know everything that we normally do on a week like this because we play on we see the Lions play on Thursday this week.
All right. So let's talk about the roster moves. This was ahead of the Cleveland game.
Right.
Number one was the team activating Tim Boyle, who had all of 77 yards passing, 15 of 23, a couple of interceptions.
Yeah. So I don't know if we want to get into the Tim Boyle.
We won't. All right.
I have an idea. I have some thoughts on the Tim Boyle experiment.
Experience. But,
yeah, experience. That's a better for word, I guess. But Boyle was activated, and that was a pretty strong indicator that Goff wasn't going to play.
All right, signed wide receiver Tom Kennedy.
Yeah, he didn't really do much, right?
He did not catch pass.
Yeah, that was basically what they needed was Trinity Benson injured his knee late in the week, and they needed another wide receiver
warm body
option. Yeah, right. And so that's what that was. And they had just cut Geronimo Allison earlier in the week, and so they shuffled the end of the wide receiver group again.
All right, released defensive lineman Kevin Strong.
Yeah, Kevin, I from what I gather, Kevin's time is done in Detroit.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
There was a flash at a time.
Yeah, I don't know exactly the details on it, but I've been given a pretty strong indication that the two are parting ways. Like for
so, it's just not a fit.
I don't know. I haven't really been. I'm still waiting on a follow up to my response to that. Right. I asked a question about that, and I have not heard back yet.
Release cornerback return man Corey Ballantyne, but then they signed him back to the practice squad.
Yeah, so Ballantyne was activated from injured reserve the last time we talked, and then they cut him the next day to make room for Tim Boyle, who was activated from injured reserve. Ballantyne clears waivers, ends up back on the Lions practice squad.
All right, then they elevated right guard Tommy Kramer and kicker Aldrick Rosas. We saw both of them on Sunday.
Yeah, so the Kramer thing is important because Vitae suffered a concussion.
I was going to say, Kramer's going to start on Thanksgiving.
It's very possible he starts at Thanksgiving. That's right. Because Vitae has a concussion. And again, on a short week, trying to clear those concussion protocols is almost impossible. And so just because of like you have to go through certain stages of practice and you have to be cleared really rapidly and then by an independent doctor at the end. And it's hard to get cleared from a concussion on that short of a time frame. And so there's a very good chance Tommy Kramer gets elevated again or maybe straight up signed. And he starts at right tackle this week. Rosas was elevated because the kicker they had signed, Patterson, he apparently lost the duel, right? I guess so. They signed both guys. They signed Patterson to the active roster because they thought he had more upside, but Rosas had more. He was more of a veteran, and he was ready to go. the two battled in camp. Rosas won, and so they elevated him and made Patterson inactive. It'd be interesting, again, on a short week, how these guys compete. Will Patterson do enough to keep Rosas on the practice squad, or will they elevate him again? And if they do, that's his second one. He can't be elevated anymore, and then the decision comes, well, do we need to sign him?
Well, they could just release Patterson, right?
Yeah, they could release Patterson, then sign, and then sign Rosas. But then the following week, Austin Seibert's eligible to come back, and then so is he ready? And if he's, I mean, so the what kicker situation is going to get very, it's going to get more complicated over the next 3 weeks.
Rosas was fine on Sunday, 43-yard field goal, also hit his extra point. Can't ask for much more than that.
He's a former Pro Bowler. We talked about that last week.
And he didn't screw up. He kicked off, right? He didn't screw up on any kickoffs.
Everything went smooth.
There's nothing out of bounds out of him.
Right.
All right. Let's talk about the Browns game. There's a lot that happened in this game. I've mentioned already Lions lost 13-10. If you're listening to this podcast, you know the Lions lost this game. Tim Boyle, 77 yards passing. He looked terrible, to say the least. Some questionable play calling. Let's get into all that. But first, the positive. DeAndre Swift, back-to-back 100-yard rushing games. He looked good, and they were able to – at least they could rely on him as the game moved along.
Yeah, and so, you know, he's starting to string together a lot of, you know, successful rushing games, right? He's got – this is two back-to-back 100-yard rushing games, yet he leads the NFL in receptions for running backs. And I believe he might even lead in yardage for running backs as well. So – He's really, when everyone else is kind of stalling, he's continuing to stay consistent and actually elevating his game a little bit more, which is nice to see, right? Somebody's got to do it. I mean, somebody has for them to be competitive, somebody has to step up. Right now, that's Swift, and we broke the long one, which really I think makes us look more impressive statistically than it might have actually been, but he's giving you three quarters of really good play and then one where the defenses are kind of figuring out what the Lions are doing, and he's not as productive in one of the quarters, but he's giving you a lot and he's putting up a lot of the statistical numbers, scoring touchdowns, and it's all around a nice collection of plays for him that are, you know, resulting in positive outputs.
All right. Going to Tim Boyle. Tim Boyle had 77 yards passing.
So this is
third time I've said that.
Because it's kind of shocking, right?
It's not. Well, this team's bad, so it's not shocking. But, right. You know, he was shockingly bad. The one thing. All right, go ahead. Let's hear the actual expert's opinion on this.
I was going to say, and Goff threw for 79 yards the week before in regulation.
This is like 1940s numbers. They're putting up week to week.
Right. Now, it rained in both games. And Goff was hurt in the first one, and Boyle made his first NFL start in the second one. And for both situations, Campbell decided that he wanted to not put as much pressure on the quarterback to, you know, have to step up. He wanted other people to step up, and he wanted his defense to keep him in it. He wanted to lean on the running game. That's fine. I mean, look. You can lean on your defense, which held the Browns 13 points. You can lean on your running game, which produced your only touchdown. And, you know, like I said, like we just talked about with Swift, you know, back-to-back 100-yard games. But they're almost not relying on their quarterback to a fault. You know, look, they didn't want them to get pressured. And the Browns had the number one pass-rushing, sack-producing defensive line in the league. Yet they didn't have a single sack. And they only generated six pressures. Six. That's it. I've seen where they get pressured six times in a drive. You know what I mean? Like six pressures only allowed the entire game was awfully impressive. Miles Garrett, who leads the NFL on sacks, he had four pressures. That was it. Taylor Decker did really well with him. Sewell went up against Clowney. He goose egged him. You know, he gave him nothing. But this was by design, right? Campbell did not want him throwing that much because he didn't want him feeling the pressure. But there's a point where there's a negative return on this, sure. Right?
Yeah, I get it, but like, you can't just shelve them.
What they wanted to do happened, but they could, but the end result is not what they wanted, right? They needed to do something more. They needed to be a little bit riskier, and they were cautious to a point of losing the game, essentially.
Interestingly, like that first play from scrimmage for the Lions, where he booted out to the right. Yeah. And he had the nice short pass to the rookie, Brock Wright. Right.
Yeah.
And he rumbled for 12 yards.
Yeah.
And they got the first down. And it's like, why? Okay. That's fine. I get why they did that. They should probably do a lot more than that. More of that. Move them around a little bit, get them a little bit comfortable, short routes, you know, like, and they kind of abandoned that.
Yeah.
You know, they really didn't do a lot of that. When I saw that, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, maybe that's what they're going to try to do here. And they didn't end up trying to do that.
I'm hoping we will see more of that this week, right?
Yeah, I they need to expose him some more. I don't know.
No,
I gotta let him get. And I know he got blown up in the preseason.
Yeah,
you know, like I don't know if there's still shell shock, you know, like in correlation to that. But I don't know. He looked bad, you know. Missing everything. Fine, like to not even be near receivers.
And he threw two interceptions as well.
Right. That's not crazy for a first start.
No.
Like to me, that's forgetting you could throw two picks in your first career start. That's fine. It's just that, you know, just as a holistic thing.
Certainly. Yeah. They needed to take the kid gloves off him and they didn't. And they're going to need to do that in order to win. I wrote an article yet on Monday that basically said, look, when they needed their caution with trying to take care of the quarterback worked, but it ended up costing them to the game because they were unwilling to loosen things up after that. They need to show more of that bravado that they showed from the Rams game, and they need to apply it more. Like you have to put this kid, you can't go into a game thinking I'm going to win despite my quarterback. You need your quarterback to produce. I don't care if it's his first game. I don't care if he threw two picks. You still need him to do something beyond 77 yards. And maybe I agree with you with getting him exposed into some quicker passes, getting him on the move, rolling out. Those are all positive things that you need that they did early that they just walked away from. The thing that we have to remember here is it's not just his early in his career. This is only Dan Campbell's second game as a play caller. And I think he got complacent and he leaned on what was working. We saw that in Pittsburgh too. Once he found something that worked, he kind of leaned on it and he kind of disregarded some other aspects of the playbook. And I think that comes with the inexperience of calling plays, right? A more seasoned offensive coordinator is going to dip back into other aspects of the playbook and try and keep things fresh, especially when the offense is stagnant in one area. And we're not seeing that. So we're seeing a learning curve with players, especially young players in Blau in his first start, but we're seeing the coaching learning curve here as well. And while we are demanding that these players get better, we need to demand these coaches get better as well, because Campbell has to be able to be more flexible if he wants to stay in the play calling role. They had 11 third down opportunities last game. Three of them were converted. Three of them were converted.
Yeah, I think they were 0 for the first seven, right? Then they probably got three in a row. And then that the big one that we'll probably talk about.
Well, they had 11 first down, third down opportunities. They ran on five. The only one that was successful was the 57-yard touchdown by Swift. Mm-hmm. The six,
which was a nice play call.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was great blocking too. By the line and the receivers, right? These other six were all passes. Three of those passes were completed. Three were incomplete. Of the three that were completed, two of them came with less than 39 seconds left in the half when the Browns were just giving them completions to run the clock. The third one that was completed was for -1 yard. So they, while they actually
always questionable,
right?
So throw it to the sticks.
So they always came up short, except for one opportunity, essentially, right? I mean, granted, two of them went for first downs, but it doesn't matter. Like those were meaningless time waster opportunities that you don't really count in the grand scheme of things. They had one successful third down attempt that actually meant anything, and that has to be better. Like even Myles Garrett said after the game, when it was 3rd and 14, we expected a draw play to Swift, because that's exactly what they did in Pittsburgh the week prior. They knew it was coming. And this is where Campbell's, inexperience. Yes. And his, I'm going to go back to what's worked earlier because I think it's going to work again. And he goes back to it. It obviously doesn't work. Everyone knew it wasn't going to work. I mean, almost everyone knew that play was coming. Myles Garrett knew it was coming, and it wasn't successful. Then they punt, they don't get the ball back because the Browns have the #1 rushing offense in the game. And so giving the ball back late and you're giving it to a team that wants to run the ball, they're the best rushing offense in the league. I knew that ball wasn't coming back. I knew it, right? Like when you run a draw play on 3rd and 14, you're basically
you have to be ready to go for it on 4th down.
Yeah.
Like you have to, your thought, all right, we'll run the draw here and then we got to do something else on fourth down.
The immediate thought
got to be in your head.
The immediate thought on 3rd and 14 was this is 4 down territory. Yeah. They have 2 downs. They've got
to
get 7.
Be 4 down territory.
And then,
especially when they have nothing on the line.
Yeah.
I agree. Who cares if they don't convert on 4th and 9?
So
you know, like, that was very questionable there red flaggish. The two things that happen in the fourth quarter, the first one being, you know, they get the interception, they're on the Cleveland 34, you know, they can't get a first down, they gain 9 yards, and they decide to go for the field goal, which fine, you know, point like
4th and 1.
They've been aggressive, you know, and they should be able to get 1 yard. They have been effective running the football.
Yeah.
You know, and they ran the one Kabinda play, like the first Kabinda play.
The 20 yarder.
That was great. Yeah. But then they went back to it because they did that on another 3rd down, right? And it was a total, or maybe it was a 2nd and 1 or something.
They went to Kabinda on a 4th and 3rd down. Yeah.
Because of course they know it's coming now. They saw it work once. But anyhow, back to the 4th and 1. They don't go for it on that 4th 1. They just take the points.
Yeah.
And making it a 13-10 game, which is, you know, it's just. Yeah, they wanted to be aggressive. They're supposed to be aggressive. They're trying to win a game. They probably shouldn't have done that. They probably should have went for it. But yeah, then the whole deal there, like, why would you punt?
Yeah,
especially after you run that you should have threw the ball on 3rd down if you were going to punt on 4th down. I don't know.
The Dan Campbell pre-buy would have went for it on 4th and 1 and would not have punted. But post-buy, since he's calling plays, he has all of a sudden reverted to passiveness. And it's very surprising because it's very counterintuitive to what was working for them when they were gambling on things later. And he said in his post game, I was counting on my defense to get me the ball back. They'd been playing well.
They thought they could do it. That's the thing. The defense had already done everything they needed to do.
I agree.
They've given up 14, given up 13 points in the game, right? Yep. That was enough. There comes a point. It's like we can't keep forcing this onto the defense, and the defense has been great. Like I'll use that term. I mean, it's not a great defense, but it is improving. Aaron Glenn looks to be a good defensive coordinator, and like I said last week, and I still look forward. Let's get him some more guys. Let's see what he can do with some more talented guys on defense, because at least that's becoming a bright spot as the season rolls on. But the defense to that point had done enough. You didn't need to ask them to stop the ball one more time. And there comes a time where they just can't, a defense can't do it anymore. You know, they had only given up 13 points. They had done enough to win the game.
I'm a little bit forgiving because like with Blau, under us understanding Blau is it's okay if he throws a pick. I'm a little bit forgiving and it's Dan Campbell's first year as a head coach and then his second game is calling plays. I get that he wants to be in the headset of the quarterback. I get that, but I think he needs to be more reliant on the staff around him. And maybe that's something that doesn't come till next year when a new offensive coordinator ends up in town or something like that. But, I was discouraged by the lack of aggression, and I'm looking forward to seeing that change. Hopefully this Thursday.
Hopefully this Thursday.
Yeah.
What else do you want to talk about? Touch on the defense for a little while? I mean, we just talked all about the offense and the miscues, sure. And you know,
defense, I mean,
like they didn't really hold the Browns running attack, especially at the mm-hmm. very end of the game.
Yeah.
So they held Baker Mayfield 176 yards passing and intercepted him twice, but it wasn't 100% Baker Mayfield. You know, this was a walking wounded Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, but they had a lot of other than Baker dealing with stuff, they had a couple other guys, but nothing out of the ordinary. Like this was an offense that should have done better. And I think the Lions defense does deserve a lot of credit for that. I don't think there was any like significant like play or player that like stood out of the ordinary. The only thing that like really like caught my attention was Aaron Glenn's play calling. It is terrific.
Yeah, he's getting a lot better. Because remember, he got the sure. San Francisco game was rough.
Sure.
Like, you could look at the things that were at the end of the Baltimore game, the end of the Minnesota game that didn't look good. They did pretty well. They did pretty well yesterday and in the last couple of weeks. And, yeah, it's not against the greatest offenses, but
he's calling
situation offenses because of the quarterbacks the last 2 weeks. But he's doing a lot better.
And he's dialing up blitzes at the right time.
Will Harris Austin Bryant sack that safety blitz like that was perfect perfect timing, and the Browns weren't ready.
He had a couple like that. He had a couple of them that were perfect like that as well. So he's setting things. You know, he's used plays to set up future plays. And that's a really good sign of a coach that understands what they're doing, is that he's giving you one look and then he's coming back to that look later and putting a twist on it and throwing you a curveball. And he's doing it at the right time. He's doing it on like second and long, or he's doing it on third downs. And when you're expecting one thing and then he twists it up on you and the pressure comes, it's really effective right now. Aaron Glenn, it was really, I think the superstar of the Browns game.
He's the team MVP. Well, I don't know if we had to have a team MVP, which is poorly timed because we're at the 10th game. It's not halfway through. The team MVP, I guess, is DeAndre Swift. But, you know, coaching MVP is Aaron Glenn to this point.
Yeah. I like Aubrey Pleasant myself as well.
Well, he's done a lot with a little there, yeah, too.
Exactly.
I mean, but they've blown up some in the secondary,
sure.
Although not in the last couple. This is big. Now it's the Bears game. I would expect to see him to be able to control the passer, you know, but we're going to get into that in a second. So this should be another good game of secondary play. And I guess we just got to watch down the stretch. Like we just got to see improvement, see him remain steady and get these young guys more experience. And then bolster them this offseason with draft picks or smart free agents. They're not going to be able to get any high end guy, but like a couple of good veterans to help out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's shoot over to the injury report.
Okay.
So Monday and Tuesday this week are walkthroughs. These are the players did not participate in practice. The first one is Hal Vitae. We discussed that a little bit earlier.
Yeah, so we're recording we're before Tuesday's practice, but we know it's going to be a walkthrough. Vitae was out or estimated to be out. We got to remember, all of these are estimates. Like if there was a practice, this is what we think they would have done. And so Vitae being estimated to be out is a bad sign. We alluded to Tommy Kramer potentially filling that role and potentially starting. You know, they have... you know, Matt Nelson, who's injured, who we're going to get to in a second here. And they have Will Holden and Ryan McCollum. McCollum had to play for Evan Brown for a series, but he's not really a guard. And I would think Matt Nelson might have been eligible. But again, Matt Nelson's dealing with his own injury. I don't think Will Holden's a guy who's going to be a guard, which means your next best guard is Tommy Kramer. So that's what I'm thinking.
All right. So Next up, offensive lineman Matt Nelson with his ankle injury.
Matt Nelson is basically, he was that key catalyst a couple of, weeks ago against the Steelers. Misses last game. They still find ways to get production out of the running game. They just didn't do it in the sixth offensive lineman like they did against Pittsburgh.
All right. Edge rusher Trey Flowers, the knee injury.
Yeah, so they were productive without Flowers last week. Mm-hmm. He still seems like he's going to be out. And being out right now is just riling up the fan base.
I'm getting riled up.
Yeah, I understand.
Him. I wasn't the biggest fan of his signing. And he was, and when he plays, he's fine. He's not a star. He's good. And it's not looking good. And if he's hurt, then I'm not that upset about that. It's just that this was it's starting to look like a terrible signing.
He's hurt a lot.
Bob Quinn, you know. And, you know, he was durable in New England. Yeah. So it's not like it's kind of unexpected. But, like, it's not panning out for him. And that's just more credit to the Aaron Glenn and the gang for being able to be fine without him, you know.
Yeah. So Austin Bryant stepped up in his place. He got that half sack. They used Akwara a lot more and Julian.
And those two are useful, Bryant and Akwara. Yeah, they're not terrible players. Like,
no, they've been.
They might have something with both of them. They both have to improve, but those could be eventual guys.
Yep.
All right. Defensive lineman Deshaun Hand with groin injury. So speaking of injured players or players that are often injured.
Yeah, he left and didn't return. And now they're estimating he wasn't going to play. And so now who knows what's going to happen with him. Another defensive lineman that has fans in an uproar over another injury. It's a shame.
Yeah, at least he was a later round pick. And he was great his rookie year.
Yeah,
or at least much better than expected. Like, you know,
his contract is up, and so even though they like him,
Deshaun Hand,
he's either going to come back on a super low deal, or I think
somebody fine.
I my opinion though, my guess is that somebody's going to pay him more than the Lions are going to because they see the potential he has, and they're going to be willing to pony up some more money. So this might be the last few games of Hand in Detroit.
All right, nickelback AJ Parker, ankle injury.
This one's significant to me because this is your starting nickel, right? And last time Parker missed, we saw Will Harris in the slot, which is not ideal. Now Ballantyne can play nickel, but he's on the practice squad. They have Nickel Roby Coleman, who is again on the practice squad, but it sure seems like they would go with Will Harris. I'm not ruling out the fact that they could slide Jerry Jacobs into some slot work and use Mark Gilbert on the outside. They liked what they saw in Gilbert two game in Pittsburgh. But I mean, Jacobs has been playing well. I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily want to rock the boat with what he's been doing. So maybe Gilbert gets a shot. Be interesting to see what happens if Parker can't go, which is a shame because he's a talented young player.
All right, players that were limited in practice at least yesterday. Quarterback Jared Goff, oblique injury. So will we see Goff on Thursday?
I don't know if this is just games or if he's actually has a chance, right?
Make a good point with the games.
Yeah, I would actually.
Although if you're the Bears, does it really matter?
It's a quarterback. Well, kind of, because like the difference is mobility. Right. Mm-hmm. You got to prepare for mobility with Tim Boyle. You don't really have to prepare for mobility with Goff. Now, he said he was, or the coach said he was feeling better and he got a chance to throw the ball around. Right. It was a funny moment in the press conference when because Dave Burkett of the Free Press asked, when you're saying throwing, are you just talking about like throwing it on the side, or was he like actually like throwing it like in game situations? And Campbell made a nice joke saying like, you got to give me a little credit, Dave. I'm actually like, we're using him in like the game situation. It was pretty funny. It was a good moment in that video. So he's testing it out. He'll probably test it out again Tuesday. but we're not going to know if he's really going to be available probably until Thursday morning, like, you know, Thursday, like right up until that 30 minute game time. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they drag this thing out.
All right, running back, Jamar Jefferson, knee and ankle.
So that's a positive sign, right? Like if they're expecting him to play, maybe he's available. My guess, short week, you've got your other two backs healthy. My guess is he's probably going to, they're going to rest him a little bit more. No reason to push him, especially when you have Godwin as your RB3. So limited good sign for maybe week 13.
Okay, wide receiver, Trinity Benson with his knee.
So late week injury, now he was returning. He's possibly ready to go. If he does, then maybe Tom Kennedy, this could be a catalyst for Tom Kennedy getting cut and Kramer getting elevated. That kind of move could happen if Vitae is not able to go. So Benson could be, his health could be a good indicator of what happens transactionally ahead of Thursday.
All right, still working his way back from injured reserve, cornerback Ifeatu Melifonwu with a thigh injury.
So he's still in the evaluation. They have until Tuesday after Thanksgiving to make a decision on him. The unfortunate part is that because they're running walkthroughs, they don't really get a full-on test with him. They're not going to run a full practice on Wednesday because they have the game on Thursday, and then they don't practice till the following Wednesday. So they really don't have a game situation to test him out again, or like a live practice situation to test him out again before they have to make a decision on him. My guess is they wait until a week, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, and they activate him and see what happens after that.
All right, so the protected practice squad for this week, Bruce Hector, as always. Same thing with Steven
Montez. Oh, wait, hold on. I didn't change that in my notes. That's my fault. We don't find out the protected practice squad until later tonight. This is my estimate. I should have noted that. This is my estimate again.
All right, this is the Eric Schlitt estimated practice squad, protected practice squad. Hector, Montez, tight end Saint Zylstra, and kicker Aldrick Rosas.
Yeah,
and,
basically I'm expecting it to stay the same as what I'm saying.
Same as last week. Yeah. All right, let's talk about the Bears. Thanksgiving Day, 12:30 p.m. start time on Fox with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. You know, it's our 1 week a year where we get the number one team. And they're probably going to be somewhat bored throughout the game. It'll be interesting to hear what they have to say. Referees, Adrian Hill. The betting line, the Bears opened as 4-point favorites. Now the Bears are only favored by 3.5. With the over under a sky high 43. Expecting offensive fireworks.
So the Bears are 3-7 on the year.
Yeah. At one point they were 3-2.
And they've lost 5 straight.
Yeah, riding a 5-game losing streak.
They've got a bunch of injuries that they're dealing with, especially to key players. And the fashion in which they are losing is causing fans all over the metro Chicago area to start chanting to fire Matt Nagy.
Happened at the Bulls game last night.
It happened at the Bulls game. It happened at the Bears game. It's happening at his kids' high school football game.
Well, that kind of stinks.
That stinks a lot, right? Yeah. So
let the kids just be kids. Yeah. You don't need to hear about dad's job status.
Yeah. So, he is
we'll at the stadium, probably hearing it at the stadium.
Yeah. He's getting it from all over. Jeremy Reisman wrote an article today previewing them that talked about the parallels between the Bears situation and Lions situation last year, where you have a coordinator who his side of the ball that he's supposed to be an expert on is just failing miserably. You're heading into Thanksgiving with everyone calling for your head. You've had 4 years as a head coach and nothing has come of it. You've actually gotten progressively worse. And there's just a ton of parallels. So we'll see. We're recording this Tuesday afternoon here. NBC Sports Chicago is reporting that Matt Nagy will be fired after the game. Matt Nagy just spoke to the Chicago press and said that was not accurate. But
I wonder why you think like he'd just be able to, like, yeah, this is my last game. You know, maybe the players would play extra hard for him because this has dead man walking potential. They're like, they're firing him anyways. Why do we even have to show up for this game? Or if he came out and said, like, yeah, this could be my last game, they couldn't fire me Sunday because it's too quick of a turnaround instead of bringing a new coach in. So they're gonna have me coach this last one and I'll get to hang out with the family for Christmas.
I do think though he's in jeopardy. Like,
he's gonna get fired.
Yeah,
he's
look,
unless they win 7 in a row and make the playoffs, then.
Well, here's the thing:
be safe.
If they lose to the Lions, I think he might not survive the weekend.
He's getting fired after the game.
I think the speculation out there right now and these reports right now are false, but I do think he's in trouble. And I think their GM's in trouble. I mean, look, we've been talking about this for a while, right? When the defensive coordinator left and then all the defensive position coaches left with him for lateral moves, you know what I mean? Like, that was a huge indicator that things were not working. So we've seen fallout from that too, right? Their offense is not playing well. They're one of the worst passing offenses in the league. They're, I think, 29th in passing offense. They're only slightly ahead of where the Lions are. And we know how abysmal the Lions passing offense has been. Their running offense has been moderate. It ranks average in DVOA. Their defense has been subpar because they've been on the field a lot. They have key injuries. Their passing defenses in the bottom half of the league. Their run defenses in the bottom half of the league. And so you've got a defense that usually keeps this team in it struggling, and the offense is regressing, right? They're declining even further than they already were. So, I think they have like 7 touchdowns passing and like 9 interceptions or something ridiculous like that.
It's 1940 stuff right there.
Neither of these offenses are sensational, but they can run.
But the Bears are still favored in this game.
I know. But again, you have a winless team. You're always, I'm not surprised they're favoring the team that's won.
Oh,
3.
Yeah. No,
yeah. So they give up sacks at an impressive rate. They're the worst team as when it comes to getting sacked, and they're not putting up points. So can't pass, they can run, and a good defense that's struggling, and they're not finishing. A lot of key injuries. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of problems in Chicago right now. And this is an opportunity for the Lions. If you start, like I said, you start going back to the Dan Campbell we saw in LA, as opposed to the Dan Campbell we've seen the last 2 weeks.
All right. So going to position by position for the Bears. Talk about key injuries. Justin Fields is probably the Bears' starting quarterback, but he's not going to play on Thursday.
Yeah.
We're going to see Andy Dalton, the red rifle.
Now, Dalton, okay, so Fields does nothing in the first half of last week's game. And he does nothing. Then he gets hurt. Dalton comes in. Dalton leads them to 2 touchdowns and keeps them in the game. He has 200 yards passing and everybody's like, all right, Dalton's going to be okay. Here's the thing. Dalton threw a 3-yard bubble screen that went for 60. And then he threw another busted play where it was a 4th and like 15. And the Ravens, for whatever reason, went with 0 safeties and man coverage. And they just sent their Olympic sprinter past everybody. And he just threw it up. And that one went for 50. So 110 of his 210 yards came on two plays that were basically busted plays by the Ravens. So
it's making it happen.
It's not, well, look, it's not like he was aggressively filling like threading needles and like making plays. Like he, over half of his yards came at the mistake of a Ravens defense. So, you know, can that happen? You know, what can Detroit's defense make a mistake and the rate and then they get points or whatever? Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Right. But let's not look at what he did and think that all of a sudden this is like a quality NFL starting quarterback or anything like that. Just because we look at the box score, he doesn't have mobility. He will push the ball down the field, which is something that we have not seen in a while here in Detroit, but he's still not like, it's still Andy Dalton. You know what I mean? Like it's still Andy Dalton.
All right. The running backs, David Montgomery's back. He's not bad at all. He's got Khalil Herbert backing him up.
Yeah. And Damian Williams as well, right?
Damian Williams who might actually be the backup, but he's been banged up.
Yeah. And he didn't play last week. He might not play this week. But the running backs are good. And they can produce. If there's a strength of this offense, it's the running game. So might see both offenses just trying to go old school, run it down each other's throat and less than 100 yards passing.
So hopefully it's going to be Troy and Joe are hoping for the quick Thanksgiving Day game. Be out of there by 3 o'clock.
This game might 2:30. This game might be over by 2 o'clock.
Yeah, hey, be good for all. Then we can all get to dinner a little bit faster. Wide receivers, Allen Robinson, the local guy. Darnell, is he even going to play?
I don't know. He didn't play last week. He was listed as doubtful last week. Didn't play, and he didn't practice yet either. So, who knows?
Well, that doesn't look good. What about Darnell Mooney? Will he be available? They're number
He's
two.
Limited. He's their wide receiver one. He's the guy that they think is going to be wide receiver one of the future. And you've actually seen them start scaling Robinson's touches back and trying to pass him on to Mooney. Here's the thing. Again, if you look at the box score, Mooney's numbers look very good. He went for 120 yards. He had a touchdown. But when you watch the game and you watch him play, he's still making mistakes. He had a couple of drops. He had a hiccup on one of his routes where he kind of like stuttered when he had no reason to, and he missed it. He got one dislodged. He caught one and couldn't stay in bounds. Like, there's a lot of little nuances to his game that he needs to polish, but they're force feeding him throws. And so his statistically, he's going to look good. And if you're just box score scouting, you're like, hey, Mooney's a good player. And he is, he's a good player, but he's not, you know, an elite wide receiver, you know, that's going to put up 100 yards a game every game.
Then we got former Michigan Wolverine Marquise Goodwin. Right. Is he a former Michigan Wolverine?
No, he played it.
He was at Texas, but I thought he transferred, right?
Maybe no, they wanted him. He's the Olympian. He's a former Olympian.
All right.
Speedy guy. He's the one that caught the 50 yarder, where they ran three verticals with no over the top help on a 4th and 15 with like less than 2 minutes left. Why they didn't have a safety, I have no idea. But they just threw the ball up and he used his Olympic speed to go. He was a triple jumper, I think, in the Olympics or something like that.
I mean, that's why his name is so familiar.
Yeah.
Because I knew he played at Texas. I'm like, hey, he must have started at Michigan or something. That's why I'm thinking about him.
Yeah, no, he's a former first rounder, if I'm not mistaken, as well, just because he's really fast. And he just outran.
He's been around for 8 years. He was round 3, pick 78 by Buffalo.
Oh, 3?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. All right. My mistake.
All right, the tight end's Cole Kmet, and he's holding off Jimmy Graham, who's at the end of his career.
Both of them were playing worse early in the season than they are now. They're playing better now. But Jimmy's still Jimmy. You know, he's one or two catches a game type of guy. Kmet's a little bit easier to go. We just got a thing. Andy Dalton will start. That's
hey,
official.
There we go. All right. Official.
Just so, I mean, we already talked about it, but just
because again,
Nagy's talking to the press as we go right now. So, yeah, you know, their tight ends are okay. Jesse James is their third one. He's not, you know, we know Jesse James. Yeah, JP Holtz is another one. He's not very good. And then they have a fifth tight end as well, just, you know, because five tight ends.
Dan Campbell, the coach of their
team?
That's
normal. He's typically inactive. Yeah.
All right. Kmet, though, 29 receptions, 296 yards, worth noting. No touchdowns on the year. Offensive line. The aging Jason Peters still hanging around, almost 40 years old.
He's Cody still Whitehair. Playing well. He's still all right. Yeah. But, like, he's not the Jason Peters he was in Philly.
Left guard, Cody Whitehair. Center, Sam Mustafa. Right guard, James Daniels. And right tackle, Larry Borum.
So, Whitehair and Daniels are both, like, the center guard hybrid guys who've had success in previous years. They've been average this year. Mustafa is terrible. He's been one of the, he has not been good. He's one of the worst centers in the league right now. Broom is now their third right tackle, if I'm not mistaken, because they drafted Jenkins in the first or second round, and then he went on IR. Then they had Iafetti, and then now he's on IR. And so now they're on to Broom, and Broom's not very good. Not, I mean, he's a rookie. He's a fifth-round pick or something like that. And so Broom is – or Borum, I guess is his name, Borum, not Broom. Yes. I'm mistaken that. It should be an opportunity for is it Trey Flowers? Is it Austin Bryant? Is it Akwara? Those guys are going to have a little bit of opportunity there. And I also think Aleem McNeil should be able to mess Mustafa up a little bit because, again, he's not a very good center.
All right, flipping over to the defensive side of the ball. We got Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, Bilal Nichols, very familiar names on that three-man defensive front.
And Hicks has been hurt. Hicks missed last game, and he didn't practice on Monday. And even if he plays, when he's played this year, he's been hurt. So his production has been down. He's one of the better defensive linemen in the game. He's maybe the best run defensive lineman in the game, but he's just not been himself this year because of injury. And who knows if he'll even be available.
All right. The linebacker group, thankfully missing Khalil Mack, who I'm not happy that he's injured, but he is on injured reserve, and it's good he won't be facing the Lions this week. Cassius Marsh will replace him. Roquan Smith, maybe the best in the business. Alec Ogletree, another older guy. And Robert Quinn, another well-known Lions nemesis.
So if you look just at the edge guys, I think you'll see some Cassius Marsh. I think you'll also see some Tevis Gibson. Travis Gibson is he's better than Marsh, in my opinion. He got a sack last game, at least one, if I'm not mistaken. And there's some potential. He's got to draw Sewell, though. And that's an advantage for the Lions. Now, Robert Quinn, who has always been a terrific edge rusher, he's going to get Decker. And honestly, if you're Detroit, those are matchups you like. You like getting your best senior offensive lineman on their best pass rusher and your young up-and-coming rookie to take on their guy who we don't know a whole lot about or haven't seen a whole lot of, and be that, you know, these more high energy guys, let Sewell go in and take shots at them. So the edge guys, I think, matching up pretty well with the Lions. I would say the Lions actually going to have some favors. Quinn, though, I mean, Quinn's still going to make plays. He's
got 10 sacks on the year.
He's still a good player, right? And so he's still going to do well. Thing is, you know, Decker's coming back and he draws, I'm just blank on who he drew last week from the Browns, Myles Garrett. Drew Myles Garrett last week. So the Quinn's not Myles Garrett. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's really good, but Myles Garrett is a next level.
Defensive player of the year.
Okay. Roquan Smith is, you know, like you talked about, he's an up and comer. Trevathan is usually their starter, but he's on injured reserve. And so you have Ogletree, who's been around for a long time. Yeah. He drafted by the Rams, I believe.
Yep. Yeah. Long time.
Long time ago.
All right. Defensive secondary, Jalen Johnson, Tayshawn Gibson, Eddie Jackson, Kendall Vildor. I don't know Kendall Vildor very well.
Fifth round pick from last year. He's he's not playing really well. Neither is Gibson. Jackson's been hurt, and I think he missed last game. They're expecting him to return, but again, he hasn't been playing really well. So you've got a couple of safeties that aren't playing well. You got a couple of corners that aren't playing well. Jalen Johnson is a decent corner. DeAndre Houston Carson is actually a good third safety. I like him in that third safety role. He does well, but their starters are not really that good. And if you go down the bench a little bit further, you'll see another Chicago Bear, number 37, who is a former second round pick of the Detroit Lions, hanging out. Yeah. He's gotten some run with them. And it'd be interesting to see the fans' reaction if
played he against ends Pittsburgh. Up in the
game. What's that?
He played against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he's played a couple of times. So
yeah, maybe we'll get to see him. Yeah. At least he's hanging around. You got to give T some credit.
He is
hanging around the league.
So the secondary, not ideal. The run defense, like I said, has been banged up, and those injuries have been problematic. And your defensive linemen have been gashed. And so I fully expect another heavy dose of Swift and Williams in this game and asking the offensive line to move people around, because they're going to want to control the game. I think this is their path to success. And so if they are missing guys, like if they end up missing Hicks, if Hicks doesn't make that game, it's going to be a lot easier to beat Robert Quinn if you're asking him to run stop as opposed to letting him rush the passer.
All right, flipping over to the special teams. Got a Bears kicker. We know him well, Cairo Santos, who's has a good kicking percentage on the season, but his longest field goal he's made has only been 47 yards.
Yeah, they tried him from 65 a couple weeks back, and he missed terribly, which isn't that big of a deal. But since then, he's been a little rattled, I guess. So be interesting to see if he's, you know, Ford Field has a way of making kickers look funny. And so
even though they have no wind in there.
Right. It's really somebody weird.
They leave all the doors open or something. Creates an odd draft. Pulls the ball one way or another.
But yeah, he was very consistent. And recently he's been a little shaky.
Punters Pat O'Donnell, really nobody to write home about.
Yeah, veteran.
Names close though to like Pat O'Connor from the super fan, the Bears super fans. So I believe Pat O'Connor, I believe that was Chris Farley's character in the super fans. Yeah.
That's a pull.
That's a non sequitur there. There's not, nothing that's not attached to anything. Return game. Was there a return game anything worth mentioning?
No, you know, look, Tree Cohen. He, you know, we saw some runs from him. He's been on IR all season. Jakeem Grant
and Khalil Herbert returning kicks.
Grant's pretty good. He's their gadget. He's like their gadget receiver, and they'll use him as a returner as well. I don't Grant recall. I didn't. Punts. Yeah, I didn't really look at their DVOA or anything to see how good they are. Just because the Lions, they've been so good on special teams, I assume. At worst, it's an even matchup.
Let's hope you just jinxed it.
Did you see
Grant, his longest kick return's been 34 yards, longest punt return 21.
The Monday night game, or the Thursday night game, I think, after we recorded last week, the Thursday night game was the Patriots, if I'm not mistaken. Man, I'm getting these games.
Yeah, it was Patriots. Yeah, it was Patriots on Thursday.
I don't know if you saw, I was getting the podcast downloaded. And I was watching the game, and Mac Jones had completed something like 95% of his passes. And they said, Mac Jones has completed 95% of his passes and he's picked off. There was they didn't even finish the sentence, the ultimate jinx right there. Yeah, so
full jinx. Hey, Mac Jones could have been a Lion. I don't know if I would have settled for Mac Jones. I think it's a good position he's in with the Patriots.
There's a lot of, fans looking back and saying, what if this happened and what if that happened? And, it's understandable. I also don't think it's super productive for mental health because, you know, yes, maybe if they would have done this or that, they could have ended up with this or that. But like, look, it didn't happen. And you've got,
been good, and he's getting better. And
you've got,
he's been attacked early on because he had a couple of bad showings. But hey, he's 20 years old. He's playing pretty good now.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be, you know, that are upset that Mac Jones isn't a Lion, or upset that Fields isn't a Lion right now, but they're going to be super excited come late April when the Lions have that second first round pick that they're going to get to add a talented player. So be patient. You know, I know people are getting frustrated, but things will level out eventually, right? It's just going to take a few months.
Yeah, sure.
All right, buddy, you won last week because I
thought they were going to keep it close.
I thought it was going to be a wild, you know, I expected them to score, someone to score 24 points. So I was out of my mind, apparently. So I'm going to scale back my, my 24 points this week. And I'm interested, but because you won, you are taking a commanding lead and starting to force me into thinking about playing our tricky games again. But I've got my score. I want to hear your score first, and then we'll see. I have a feeling the scores that we pick might not even matter. So I'm going to let you take the floor and go first.
Well, I'll take the Bears 18-13. I'm giving a real weird score.
Well, all right, so 18-13. Let me know.
You've got the Lions winning. I see that grin.
I am taking the Lions 17-16. And I know we have fans that don't want me to pick the Lions ever again. And I apologize for that ahead of time. But the thing is, there's a lot going wrong with the Bears right now. There's a lot going wrong with the Lions, but the Lions have more things working for them than the Bears do. And I think this is just a perfect setup. And I think the Bears are not going to be very motivated. And with Matt Nagy's name getting rumored out there, I think it's a matter of time before this team just shuts down. And this is the week for the Lions.
Wow. Well, it could be. I don't have a pick to win. I don't pick them to win, but this definitely looks like it's a possibility this week. This is one of their best chances for the rest of the way.
I'm picking them. I think it's time. They're due. They got to win at some point. This is the opportunity.
They don't have to win at some point. Something that has to be done.
No, it's a foregone conclusion. They're going to get a win. This is the time.
All right. So hey, we got a bunch of people reviewing us.
Oh, really?
Last week. Oh yeah.
I'm so neglectful because this whole short week thing has thrown me off.
All right. So we're up to 399 reviews, right? Ooh. So two new reviews, but we have five people giving us at least new or updated reviews. ADVNTRBUD, so Adventure Bud. Yeah. Okay, if I had to make it a word, it's a reliable, the great five-star review. Same thing from 5'8" Nose Guard. Plate of Blintzes, which I think Plate of Blintzes, that's probably an update. Jordan the Dutch, and one GBIKYFB'M, and I don't know what that is right now. I can't figure that one out while I'm looking at it. But thanks to all five of you. Thanks to everybody.
Nice. Yeah, even the updated ones are great because Blintzes was definitely, I recognize that name.
Yeah, we've heard from Plate of Blintzes before.
Those help because it keeps things fresh, right? And so we appreciate all that effort, all that work. Starting to see the Patreon pick up again. I think people are anticipating the off season. And so Patreon's starting to pick up. That's when I've been diligently collecting my draft
with the draft information. Yeah.
So we're going to have fun with that. Thanksgiving's usually a pivot point. So, let's see what happens.
We haven't been pushing for the playoffs. It's been, that's it. That's it for this season. Not much else to see here.
Well, you know what though? The one thing I guess we should point out is that for people looking ahead towards the draft, the Texans beat the Titans last week. And because the Texans beat the Titans, the Texans now have two wins. So every team in the NFL now has two wins except for the Lions. So that means the Lions who have half a win. The Lions can still win a game and still hold that number one pick without an issue.
Yeah, they can win a game. Yeah.
And maybe even two.
For those who want the number one overall pick.
Yeah. And maybe even win two. So
Texans will have a good shot at winning this weekend, although they're playing the Jets, who also have two wins. So.
Right. Yeah. The Jets, the Texans, the Dolphins, they all play each other. They're all at two wins. So, but
chaos will ensue for them.
Yeah. But somebody has to win those games too, or at least, you know, tie. And so, we'll see, you know, like the Lions are in a good spot. You know, and I think they can get a win this week. I think they can still hold that number one pick this week. This is a week that everybody could be happy. Right. Everyone can be happy. The people who want the draft pick can be happy. The people who want the win can be happy. Everyone can be happy this week. Lions just need to get it done on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that'd be a nice little boost for Thanksgiving. Everybody gets to see the Lions win on Thanksgiving. That's nice.
It would be.
Yeah, so that's it. That's all we got for this week. You know, it's one of my favorite games of the year, no matter how bad the Lions are. And there's always talk in the national media that they need to take this game away from the Lions because how terrible they are, you know, year after year. And they do have a point, except for me, it's, well, they're the first team to really to do this it. Tradition. The tradition exists because of the Lions. Yeah, so yeah, that, exactly. You really can't take the game away
I don't think them. They ever will. I don't think they ever will.
Well, because... if they haven't yet. They would have already done it
already. Right. Yeah. The tradition, like for a league that is so focused on tradition, this would go against all those other things that they're pushing for. And so I would be surprised. It would shock me. Yeah. Because I don't see it ever happening. Like you said, the opportunity would have been there over the last 2 decades.
20 years. Yeah, they would have taken it away from us by then. And you just jinxed it, though. So now they're like, well, we're going to take it away for both the Lions and the Cowboys, and it's just going to be rotating, but three games on a rotating basis for every team.
This has been my stance since we started this podcast five Thanksgivings ago or four Thanksgivings ago or whatever it was that we've been doing this. It hasn't changed. And I will oppose the jinx on this one. And okay. I will say, right. Because I've been fair. Consistently saying this, the other one, though, I apologize if I jinxed you on the other one.
All right. That's all we got for this week. Everybody out there, have a happy Thanksgiving. And until next time, let's go Lions.